This interview is with Ruth Swanson, the founder and organizer of the Harbor School for the Handicapped. She has been with this organization since 1956. The interview was held at MSU Recording Studio. The interviewer is Grace Landine, representing the Heritage Commission. The date is March 25th, 1985. First of all, Ruth, I would like to ask you about questions about the origin and history of this organization, the Harbor School.
Okay. The Harbor School, a daytime achievement center for the handicapped, was organized in 1956 with a two-week summer program held in the yard of one of the people that was helping to organize it. Anyone who was interested in the handicap was a member of this organizing group, and we are a local institution. We were incorporated in about 1960, and we are a tax-free, tax-exempt organization.
Who belongs to this membership group now?
Anybody who has an interest in handicapped persons, along with the parents and the friends of these handicapped people. It's an open membership. We have no requirements. Both men and women are members. And
how many would there be now at the present?
At present time, there are about 25 people in our organization.
What were the goals and purposes of this organization when it was first founded?
The goals and the purposes were to foster the development of the mentally retarded and the handicapped, that he may become an independent as possible.
What services do you provide for them?
We provide skill building in the basic knowledge, physical development, work activity, speech and language and hearing, environment awareness, self-care, independent living, social development, craft and workshop, and community service for post-school adults 18 years old and over.
Now, what individuals besides the 18-year-old individuals or groups do you seek to help besides this one? Is it expanded in any?
No, this is entirely just for our particular group of retarded and handicapped.
And all of these are referral people then that are sent to your school?
No, they're not. We have had referral, but for the most part, we have advertised in the paper that we are here, and by word of mouth, through friends.
Mm-hmm. Now the service goals that your organization performs, how have they changed over the years?
Well, the biggest change has come because about 10 years ago, Mord Public School opened up classes and had classes for preschool children. It was mandatory that children, all children that are handicapped, go to the public school, which left only the post-graduate kids. So those are the people that we've been working with. We don't have anybody under the age of 18.
Do you have any screening process, or how are the people you help chosen?
They're by application to the Harbor School, and then we have a school board that screens. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what we screen, because anybody is welcome. We take everybody.
Mm-hmm. How many are there in the school now, would you say?
We're very low now. We're about six, down to six pupils.
Mm-hmm. Now, how have you funded your projects through the years?
Well, principally through donations from area groups and individuals, by memorials, and by work projects of the parent group.
Can you tell something about any of these fundraising efforts?
Well, the parent group has bake sales, rummage sales, annually. At least we have 3-4 bake sales a year and one big rummage sale. And then the students have been given a kiln by the organization here in Moorhead, and they make ceramic items, and they have been selling their items at sales, craft sales. And as far as our group concerned, that's about our biggest money makers.
Now, does any money come from the state?
We're not funded by the state. We're not funded by the federal government. Mm-hmm. It's entirely by donation and our own efforts.
And do the memberships have dues?
We have a parent group that has a membership due of $1, and we have a board of directors, and they have a membership due.
Well, then, do you ever seek any outside grants or receive any grants from any other agencies?
Up to this point, no, but we are in the process this year of writing grants to, not to federal or state, but to
organizations or businesses. Or
We've written to the Stern Foundation and the Fargo-Moorhead Foundation and First Bank Foundation.
Oh, yes. Where does this group meet now? Not the children I'm referring to, but the membership committee. Where do they meet?
We have been fortunate enough to buy and furnish and have a school of our own on the corner of 10th Street and 9th Avenue South. And here's where we hold all our meetings.
Before that, where did they meet?
When we first started, we were in Bethesda Lutheran Church, and we would hold our meetings there at the church. And then when the church moved to the southern part, south of Moorhead, we were fortunate to get a house on campus, MS campus, and we had our school and our meetings there for about 5-6 years. And then we have our own school now.
How often does your membership
Once a
meet?
Month, and the board of directors meets 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Is food a part of your meetings like so many other meetings?
Well, I guess we do have lunch, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And do you have programs?
We have no programs.
What do you do then?
Business. That's just the running of the school is our main.
Uh-huh.
When we were in the process of organizing and first getting started, then we did have speakers that were in the field of retardation, mental retardation, that came and spoke to us and gave us ideas and told us what we should do and how we should do it. And but now, over the years, we've going now, this is 26, 27 years, we think we know how to do it.
Sure, well, you apparently do. Now, can you identify people who have played key roles in the program of your organization? Besides yourself?
Well, there's so many of them, I'm afraid I can't remember all. Judge Homer Satre is on our board of directors. He's been a part of us since the beginning. He is who helped us set up and made our bylaws. Mrs. Fred Bailing, who was the originator of the group, she's passed away, but she was a very hard worker. We had Louis Ducier, who was a columnist for the Fargo Forum up until the time of his death. Alice Corneliuson, who's on the faculty of Moorhead State College. Dr. Gingle, who was a professor at MSU. Jim Harsted, a Moorhead businessman. Gladys Yernberg, who has been a teacher and has worked with mentally retarded for many, many years. Jeanette Nelson, who is a teacher, has been a teacher with the mentally retarded for many years. These people all have been members of our board. And then, of course, the parents themselves have played a big role in our organization.
Just seems strange that it would be difficult to get that much money together from a place, for a school like this and hire help when you aren't receiving any grants or any money from the state. That must have been a difficult thing.
When we started out, we didn't know where we were going to get our money. We hired 2 teachers and didn't have any money. And then Fred Rusness, who was a well-known businessman in Moorhead, gave us our first $100, and Mrs. Bailing matched it. That was our first month. And from then, when we advertised or we let know that we were going to be here, we wrote to various organizations and the churches. The money started to come in, and it's been coming in ever since.
The church has been very good at backing this program?
The area churches, yeah. In and around, the Clay County churches, mm-hmm. not the local churches so much, but the outlying mm-hmm. churches have been wonderful.
All of these members that you mentioned, have they also played important roles in the community as well?
They've been teachers. We have a judge. Mm-hmm. Very, very important people in the...
Now, has your group provided leadership for district or state offices? That really doesn't apply here because you haven't had a state or a local organization. But in any way, have you influenced any other community to begin a program similar to this one?
Well, yes, I think we have. When we were well along our way, probably been 10 years or so, and they weren't yet very many classes in the public school, we would get calls from outlying areas asking us to come out and tell how we started and what did we did and how did we get our money and who did we contact. We went to, I remember, went to Elizabeth, Minnesota at one time and several small towns so that they could organize a school.
Have some of them organized and had a similar type of a
mm-hmm.
school then?
They did.
Then it was quite an important influence mm-hmm. then in the...
Mm-hmm. We were kind of a role model mm-hmm. for many schools.
Yes, not only in our town, but in the entire area.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, how has this been a unique type of organization in the community?
Well, the main thing is that we charge no tuition. Mm-hmm. Absolutely anyone can come and... No, they don't have to pay.
Yes.
I think that makes us unique.
How long can they attend the school? Can they just continue on, or do you have an age when you...
We don't have an age limit.
Mm-hmm.
We have one fellow that's 56 years old. And, of course, now we're licensed only from 18 years old on. And as long as they want to keep coming, mm-hmm. we're there for them.
At this time, most of them, others would be taken care of in a school and in...
That's right, in the public school.
Mm-hmm.
I might say that in our school, we also have Fargo children. We cross the river. It's that another thing is unique, that there is mm-hmm. no borderline.
It's a cooperative effort then between
right.
the two
mm-hmm.
cities. That makes it very nice. What is the image that you seek in the community for your school? The main thrust of it.
We would just like to have people see our students as normally as possible. We have some of the activities in our school. One of the main ones is that they go out to eat at least once a week. And we've had many, many people tell us they've never seen such a well-behaved group of youngsters as we have.
Does the school pay for this meal, or do they bring their own
They pay
money?
For their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you think the community sees the organization?
They've been very receptive, and they've mm-hmm. been very taken care of us very well.
You had no objection when you got that building, for instance? Is it in a residential
area? Residential. It happened, we bought the building for many years ago, and we rented it out because we weren't ready yet. We didn't have the money to fix it up ourselves. And then when MS expanded a few years back, we had to leave that building. We had no place to go, so we went and to our own house. It's a house that we bought. And we have remodeled. Over the years, we've been remodeling it to suit our needs. Mm-hmm. And as far as the neighborhood, they're very receptive to us. They like us.
Well, that's nice. Do any of the students stay in the home?
No.
They all live in their...
They all live in their own home, come in daily.
Uh-huh.
And one young fellow that comes in from Arthur, North Dakota.
How is the transportation provided for him?
Every parent has to provide their own transportation.
Now, if Can you think of any major changes in the organization has changed as the community has changed and grown?
Well, the main change is the fact that the public school took over the education of the retarded entirely, so that we don't have any students unless they are postgraduate students.
That's how about the 16-year-old? Are there any that are as young as that?
There's classes in the Mord Public School for 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. So it starts at 18 then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're licensed for 15 students.
Your present enrollment, you said, was about 6?
About 6.
When did you join, when did you take a hold of your end of the organization of this?
At the time when we began, in 1956. Mm-hmm. I was one of the originators.
Your reason for starting it?
Well, I think I hadn't thought much about retardation or handicapped, although I did have a niece that had cerebral palsy. But I had a close friend that had a child that was mentally retarded, and she wanted something for this child, some place where he could be and could learn, be with other children. So we tried a two-week program. She kept on calling me and calling me. Finally, she won me over, and with the help of several other parents of handicapped, we had this two-week program in her yard. And it proved so successful that we decided in September that we were going to open the school.
When you took your teacher training at Morehead State University a few years back, did you feel that you ever got anything that would help you with the handicapped and the mentally retarded at that time?
At that time, there was nothing. I don't think it was even thought about at that time.
Uh-huh. Those children were
in the home, and they were kept in the home or in an institution.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest satisfaction that I've had in this program is to see these young fellows grow from little retarded or handicapped children into fine young men and women, and that can go downtown and conduct themselves like any other person, mm-hmm. Be just as, I call it normal, just as normal mm-hmm. as anybody else.
Do any of them ever have any jobs?
We, through the school, have had some jobs for the children, which is called workshop. But the children that, or the, I call them children. I guess I will always think of these kids as children. But the people we have now don't have any jobs. But many of the fellows that have gone out of our school, we had one young fellow that the folks moved to Detroit Lakes because the father retired. And he got a job as a busboy at Erie Junior. And he was there for several years until they decided to go south. And he was the best like busboy they had. He couldn't talk. He couldn't talk so you could understand him. But he was such a fine young fellow, and they just got along beautifully.
It was clear to him what his task was.
His job was, yeah. And everybody loved Eddie. Mm-hmm. We have another young fellow that left us and went to Friendship Village, and then he's gone on from there, and he works in a sheltered workshop in Fargo.
You keep referring to it as the Children's Harbor School. Can you tell about the name change?
We started out as Children's Harbor School because everybody was small. We started out with at the age of 3. We had to be 3 years old to enter a school. And the first few years, our children were from 3 to about 10 years of age. And then after the public school took over these children, so we only had the older children, we dropped the word children and just mm-hmm. called ourselves the Harbor School.
Do you have anybody that started way back in 1957 that you followed through till these later years?
One gal, a handicapped gal, and she is about 30 years old and is in a wheelchair. She was a very normal child. At the age of 3, she had a high fever, which left her handicap, and she doesn't talk. But she knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Now, in the organization, what offices have you held?
To begin with, we were just a group of friends and parents working together, and nobody seemed to want to take charge, so I was automatically president. Then as we got organized a little bit farther along, then the parents decided to take over, and I was the secretary, and I was the secretary for 26 years. And I've been on the board of directors since 1956.
So you've been
active continually.
Mm-hmm. Certainly have. Now, what are some of the things the organization has meant to you, some of the satisfactions that you've received?
Well, the greatest satisfaction has been the acceptance of these kids in the community. They are so well socially adjusted that it's just amazing. They go bowling once a week, and everybody loves them up there.
What about the good that it has done for the family? That their retarded child has been able to go out. And
it has been a marvelous thing for the family because, as you remember, back in 1955, 56, these kids weren't brought out from home. They brought them to their family gatherings, but for the most part, you didn't see them on the street. Now, these parents, they've banded together, and these kids are welcome anywhere.
They know how to behave.
They know how to behave. Well adjusted.
Mm-hmm. Would that be the aspect of the program that has been most important to you, or which angle
would
you like?
I think that has been the most important.
Mm-hmm. The most rewarding.
To watch some of these children that were so bewildered and couldn't do anything to begin with. We would have children that weren't toilet trained. If I could only tell you about the first few years of toilet training we did, it was a job of a labor of love with our teachers. And just to see that these children could be toilet trained is a great satisfaction.
Mm. That angle of it would be just like caring for a little infant then, wouldn't it?
That's right. That's right. And that probably went on for 4 or 5 years before they finally were toilet trained.
Mm-hmm. Now, what event do you remember as being the most interesting?
The highlight, I think, of our school is the year, it was about 1969, when Mrs. Hubert Humphrey came and visited us. She was in Moorhead to talk to some group, and she had heard about the Harbor School. And she visited with us, and you know, the Humphreys were very interested in the handicapped people.
They had a grandchild that was
retarded. Mm-hmm. And she told us that our school was one of the finest schools she had ever seen. And that meant a lot to us.
I'm sure.
Because she had seen a lot.
You had done all of this work just not by experience, but by learning.
By learning, that's
uh-huh.
Right.
Learning by doing.
But I might say that we have had some marvelous teachers over the year. Our teachers, when we first started, didn't particularly have to have an education in retardation. But as time went on, that got to be so that the state insisted that we have trained teachers. And we have done that. But we've had some marvelous women that have given their time to this organization.
Tell about some of the programs in the summary of their year's work that you've had and held at different places.
Well,
where the children have participated.
They every year at Christmas time they give a Christmas program out at the Bethesda Church. That is the place that they have because we were in the Bethesda Church when we started, and they've continued to let us come out there, and to see these kids start out not knowing much about how to have a program, and some of the programs that come. They give now, you'd be amazed to see them. It's a highlight for the parents and for the friends.
I'm sure for the children as
well. And the children. They enjoy it.
Here I am calling them children now, too. Yeah. I heard you say it. Well, what was the most serious obstacle that you ever had to encounter?
Well, I think that would be financial. I don't know that I've ever belonged to an organization that has run along so smoothly as Harbor School. The cooperation of the parents, the acceptance in the Moorhead of us, accepted the school. We've had such wonderful cooperation from MS College. They send their teachers, their student teachers to us, have done that for years, and that benefits us, and it benefits the student teacher to get that kind of an education before she goes out. I think I forgot what your question was.
Well, that answers it anyway. It also benefits the students, too, doesn't it, when they have contact with more people.
That's right.
You know? Your most personal satisfaction, though, at working at this Harbor School?
I think to see it grow from nothing to what it is today, a well-organized group. We started, we didn't know what we were doing, and to know that they're such a fine group now.
Well, it sounds like a real success story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One that could be copied elsewhere.
I think so.
Do you have anything more you want to say about all the wonderful people that worked with you? And
well, I think that the parents should be recommended because of their participation in this school. Without them, we couldn't have gotten anywhere. They've taken over, and just the transportation itself has been such a wonderful thing to get their child there and to come and get their child again and work. The parents seem to have families that are interested in our school, so whenever we have a bake sale or any kind of a sale, it's the biggest one in town, I think, because we have so much cooperation from friends.
If you had one wish now for the Harbor School, what would you say it would be?
Right now, I would like to see more handicapped people take advantage of our school.
Well, it's been just a wonderful job, and thank you so much for
You're so welcome.
Telling
it's
us
a privilege.
About it. Thank you.